You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to feel more inspired than ever before to go out and run like kale and then eat kale, maybe even at the same time if you're anything like today's guest. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is appropriately sponsored by one of my favorite plant party products on the planet, Sun Warrior Protein Powder. If you know me but at all, or have spent but a few secs skimming my Instagram or recipes, you'll know that Sun Warrior plant-based protein powder is the Kanye to my West, the bees to my knees, the Wilson to my castaway. Okay, a product I wouldn't want to live without. Looking for a way to make your smoothies actually fill you up so you don't need a follow-up snack a few minutes later after finishing your smoothie? Blend in Sun Warrior. Don't want to get bloated, gassy, or feel crappy after consuming protein powder? Switch to Sun Warrior. Not a fan of protein powders with weird, chalky textures? Use Sun Warrior. There's a reason I blend Sun Warrior protein powders into every smoothie I make and bake it into every baked good I bake. And that reason is, well, there are many reasons. So head to the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/27 to read all about those many reasons and find out how you can get started with Sun Warrior. So if anyone knows about running, it's my guest today, Angela Smith of runlikekale.com. She also knows about plants. And puns. Angela is the epitome of awesome in my book. She's passionate about eating them plants as simply and as minimally processed as possible. She's bubbly, she's fun, honest, humble, and has a little Texan accent to boot, y'all. Oh, and under her belt, she has an Ironman, a 52-mile ultra marathon, 350K races, many marathons, and countless other races that she's been running since an unbelievable age that I'm not going to give away, but you'll hear in a sec. I will give away the fact that after recording this conversation with Angela, I am proud and terrified to say that I signed up for my first ever half marathon. She inspired me, Miss Psh, I'll never in my life run a race that damn much. Word to the wise, have sneakers nearby when you're listening to this one, because there's very little chance you won't feel amped to grab the bloobs by the horn and go run like kale, y'all. Angela, thank you so much for coming on the Party in My Plants podcast.
Oh my gosh, you are so welcome. You are already making me feel way cooler than I actually am. So thank you.
No, you are way cool. And you and I are kindred spirits with our plant puns and wordplay. I love the title of your blog, Run Like Kale. It is a hoot and it's so practical. And I love that your motto really is set a goal for yourself and whatever it is, run like kale after it. So I'm wondering if you would say that punny mindset is really what you've used to be able to achieve so many amazing athletic feats.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I really truly believe that when it comes down to endurance things and I mean, really just anything, stuff like that, but it is totally mind over matter. Like if you just set your mind to it, I mean, there is obviously training and things that have to be involved, but setting your mind to something and just go after it. Go after it with anything and everything that you have. You can do it. I mean, I really believe that you can do it.
Yeah, and I mean, you're really, really a testament to that. I mean, you've run Ironmen or Ironmans.
Yes.
I don't know. It's Ironmen.
Ironmen.
Ironmen. You've run 52-mile trail races, 50Ks. Yes. I don't even know how many miles. What is a 50K?
It's like a 32-ish, somewhere in there.
Insane.
It's like, yeah, around
how
there.
Many
so it's
marathons?
Farther than a marathon.
Many marathons.
Yes, many marathons.
Ultra marathon?
Yes, the ultra marathons are anything over a marathon. So all the 52 miles, the 50Ks, all that.
Unbelievable. So, I mean, you are a testament that anything is possible. And yeah. I want to start by hearing how you even got into running races. I know it started at a really young age.
Yeah, so I grew up running with my dad. I'm the oldest. I have two little brothers, and we would, since I was 8 years old, we would go twice a week to these running clubs that they have. There was one that was the last Saturday of every month, and one was the first Saturday of every month. And we would go and we'd run these races. So I ran my first 5K when I was 8 years old. I ran my first 15K, which is about 9 miles, when I was 9 years old.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. I was that kid. And it was my dad pushed me through all of it, because I was still not a morning person when I was a kid, and they would have to drag me out of bed kicking and screaming, but I would go and I would run the race and I would have fun with my brothers and my family. It was just kind of something that we did as a family. And so it definitely, that's when it all started.
Wow. 9 years old.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm just thinking back to even being like 14 and having to run the mile in school, and uh-huh. like half the kids, like, you know, had a sick day at home. Mm-hmm. Some of us walked. Like, I was pumped if I like beat 9:30. Like, oh my God, that's really, really amazing. And you've just kept it going through your adult life.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's obviously where it all started, but I really didn't love it at that time. I just did it because it was something that we did as a family. Like, you know, I enjoyed getting to spend that time with my dad and my brothers. And I mean, I remember he was training for his first marathon, and I was probably 9 or 10, and going, and we would bike 17 miles while he ran his miles. So that way, I've just always been a part of watching him do that. But it wasn't when I was younger. I think I just did it. I just did it for them, for my family. And so, you know, I went and I did cross country when I was in high school, and I did it because that's what I knew to do, but I didn't really love it at the time. And so it really wasn't until after I graduated high school, and I didn't have anybody telling me what to do. Nobody was telling me that I had to wake up and run this race, or I had to go to this track meet or whatever. And I decided, you know, against everything that I'd ever sworn I wouldn't do, that I was going to run a marathon. And once I finally like found that I wanted to do it for myself, that I put my own mind to it, that's when I started to really learn to love it, is because I was doing it for me, not anybody else.
That's so interesting and fantastic. That, yeah, it makes so much sense when you're being, I'm sure you weren't forced, but lovingly encouraged to do a family activity. Like some families, you know, they go to brunch or they go to the beach, but you were going to marathons and, you know, all that stuff. So once you decided to do it on your own, you fell in love with it. And so are you really in love, I guess, with the race aspect as well as just the running aspect? Because I'm wondering, you know, I run, but I just kind of run for me because I'm a really competitive person, and I haven't wanted to bring the competition aspect into the picture of running because I'm so competitive in everything else. So I just kind of wanted to keep running for me. But I'm wondering if I'm missing out on something awesome by not running any races.
Oh gosh. I mean, they're so different. And even still within each race, every race is different depending on like what your goals are, what you want to do. I love just running for me, just getting up, going out by myself. I usually actually don't listen to music when I run, 'cause I like to just be alone with my thoughts and just go. I mean, I'll listen to podcasts sometimes, but for the most part, like I'll put headphones in to look like I'm listening
Are you serious?
I usually won't even listen to music except for maybe at the very, very beginning, just to get started. But then I just like to go and think and clear my head. So I love running by myself, but races, it's a whole different element, and they really are so fun because you're there with, you know, thousands to hundreds of thousands, I've never done hundreds of thousands, but like-minded people who are all there, who are all enjoying it. And you get to, it's all about like the camaraderie, or, you know,
it's not as competitive as I think it is.
No, it can be. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's whatever mindset you go into it with. If you go in there and you're like, my goal is to win my age group or win this race or whatever, then it can totally be a competitive thing. But if you're just like, I want to just go have fun and do the pancake race and eat the pancakes afterwards, and, you know, then, you know, they have dress up races, and like the smaller ones, it's just, you're with people and you do it with a group and it's fun. And then marathons are just,
fantastic. I mean, they make it so much more fun, because if you're training for one, you're going and you're running 20 miles by yourself and you're like bored half the time.
Yeah.
You're there, you have people cheering you on every step of the way. And as soon as you hit like a slump where you're like, I cannot go another step, you run into a crowd of people who are blowing whistles and cowbells and yelling. Yeah. And it pumps you up. It really does. And so if you haven't done an actual race yet, Talia,
no.
You need to get on that.
I think I should. I wish you lived closer so you could do a baby one with me.
I wish so too. I love running people's first races with them. It's like one of my favorite things to do.
I'm sure you're the best cheerleader runner. I can't believe you don't run with music. Have you always not run with music?
Yeah, I think that's just because, again, I started running like when
before,
I was
like iPods.
Yes, exactly. I started running before people were running with iPods.
Yeah. So,
you know, have anything to run with unless you wanted to carry a big old CD player with you.
A Discman, which would skip. I feel like I tried that a few times, like way when I was young. I don't know if I was running or what, but I just remember if you turned it sideways, it would skip. So you had to keep it level.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a pain to run with. So I never really did that. And then again, like growing up, I would run with my dad. And so it's, you know, if you run with somebody, I just don't see the point in running with a person if you're going to both put headphones in and listen to music. It's like, why are you even running together? I mean, that's just my philosophy. And so, you know, I'd run with my dad, and so we wouldn't wear any headphones. And so we would talk a little bit or not talk or just, but anytime you wanted to comment, I didn't want to have to take things out. So I think I just, because I grew up that way. And then it used to be, I think it's changed because everybody listens to music now, but you weren't supposed to listen to you weren't supposed to wear headphones when you would run a race. So for safety reasons, you weren't supposed to listen or have headphones in, because if, you know, people are trying to tell you to go one way, then, and they couldn't hear you because of you had earphones in, or you couldn't, you know, it does kind of muffle your surroundings. Like you're not as aware of things when you have headphones in. And so I didn't want to train with music and then go into a race and not be able to listen to music and have to rely on that. And anyways, so.
Wow. Yeah. I can't even fathom running a mile without music. I need the music. So I'm sure it's a more like meditative experience.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you have to get real deep with those thoughts of yours.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's where the money's made.
So talk to me about the training. How does training for, I guess, like a marathon work? Or, you know, is training for an Ironman different than a 50K versus a 5K? Like, is it, how does that work?
Oh gosh, yes,
is that
it
too
is.
General of a question?
I mean, it is also different. I mean, you can't train for a 5K the same way that you would train for an Ironman. I mean, of course, there's like three different sports in Ironman, but it is. It's but the endurance races are generally pretty similar. Like, I would train for, and again, it also depends on your goals. But I would train for a marathon about the same way that I would train for a 50K, because the goal is to just get in those long runs. So if you can get in a few short runs and then you make sure that you're diligent about hitting those long runs every week, then you can build up to those endurance races. But when you're training for an Ironman, because you have swimming and biking and running, you know, you need to do different things. Like you need to incorporate in some brick workouts, which is, you know, you're doing a run and a bike, or bike and then run. So that way you're learning how to work with your muscles after they've been fatigued at a separate sport. Whereas if you're training for a marathon or something like that, you can do cross training, but it's not necessary.
I see. So for training for endurance races that are just running races, is all you do just run different lengths, or do you mix in other forms of exercise during that training too?
Yeah, I mean, that's the basis of it. If you just want to go run a marathon and your goal is, I just want to go and finish this marathon, like the one that I did a couple months ago, you know, I just had a baby, I wasn't, you know, exercising too much, and I just wanted to get in my first post-baby marathon.
Incredible.
And I wanted to finish it and say that I did it.
5 months after giving birth, right?
Yes.
5 months. Incredible.
Yes. And it was not necessarily my smartest decision, but, you know, I was like, it was 6 weeks out and I was like, I want to run a marathon. And so for that, all I did was a couple short runs a week with, you know, pushing the stroller, and then every weekend I would make my husband watch the baby, and I would go out and I would do a long run every weekend. And, you know, it started at 8 and then 11, 13, 15, 17, 18, 20, up until I think about 20 is where I stopped. And then I had the marathon the last weekend. And that's how I had to train for that because of the time frame. I mean, it's smart to train up and then taper down a few weeks afterwards, meaning like lowering your mileage to rest. But I mean, there's so many components to it, and everybody has their own way of doing it. But if I was training for speed, like if I wanted to, like back when I wanted to qualify for the Boston Marathon, that training was a little bit different because I wasn't just trying to do and just endurance. I mean, it was an endurance race, but you can. I was incorporating more speed drills and hills, and then I would do a, you know, a one day a week, do some sort of cross training, like rollerblading or biking or ab workouts or yoga or something, to use different muscles because I needed all of my body working at its highest potential in order to move at a faster pace. Is that making sense?
Yeah. So how does one, like, how do you set a goal for a marathon or a half marathon? Like, what are different options, I guess. I mean, if I'm thinking about it, like say I signed up for a half marathon, I feel like my goal would be to not walk, like just finish it.
And that's absolutely a great goal. I mean, some people guess is just finish. Some people is to finish without walking. And then you get into where you can have different paces or different times. Like if you want to try and do a half marathon under 2 hours, which is an incredible feat, you know, then you're going to have Yes, but you're gonna have to train. You're gonna have to train smarter, and you're gonna have to work at a faster pace. So, if something like that, like in my training, I would have actual like race simulation days. So I would, you know, I would get my nutrition, and I would get ready, and I would go and I would run at race pace. So for the most part, when you're training, you don't run at a race pace. Like, and when you're in a race, you run faster because, again, the adrenaline, the people, the crowd, it all hypes you up. So you do end up running faster generally when you're racing than when you're just doing your everyday long run.
Right. Wow. So, I mean, it sounds like you're much more advanced than the average person, such as myself, who's just like, you know, I'd love to maybe finish a half marathon or a marathon. So I guess there's different levels. So if I were to, you know, after this call and anyone who's listening, if they're like, hell yeah, you know what, I'm going to do it. Why not? Where would we go to get like a training like regimen? Like, cause I wouldn't know how many miles to run tomorrow, when to take a day off. Where do you get that kind of information? Do you have that information?
I do on my website. I do have, for your first half marathon training, I do have two training plans that I wrote up, and I think it's just for 13 weeks for your first half marathon. And that, and it starts out at like mile one. So how you would get going, you know, where you're only running 1 or 2 miles and just slowly, slowly building up to that. And then for any, but there's so many plans out there. I mean, there are so many different approaches to how to do it. Like some people do a run walk approach, and where they will run an X amount of time and then walk for 10 to 30 seconds and then keep running. And they will do that for the whole marathon. And that keeps them going. And that's something that people like really swear by. And some people, it's just, you keep going, but you can Google or Pinterest marathon or half marathon training things out the wazoo, and you will get anything for anything you want to do. If you want to do it in 10 weeks, if you want to do it in 10 months.
All right, cool. Or 5 weeks after giving birth.
Or 5 weeks after giving birth. I said, go for it. You can do it.
You did it. It's incredible. And I feel like the fact that you did that, you know, kind of helped you understand what like quote unquote normal people go through who weren't raised running when they were like 7 and 9. Cause like I was reading that you kind of had some setbacks. You thought that you would just go out for a run and it would be back to your old self, and it wasn't. And I'm sure there was, you know, it was hard to find the motivation. I mean, like, it's hard enough for me to motivate my non-pregnant self to run. So I'm wondering, how did you motivate your postpartum self to run when you were sleep deprived and your body was so different and just all that?
Yeah, it was
It was definitely difficult. And like, yeah, like you were saying, like it was not easy for me. I totally thought, oh yeah, I'm just going to bounce back and it's going to be awesome. Cause there's many times in my life when I would go and I would run and I would train for something and I'd do the race and I would just be burned out. And so I would take a little break, let my body rest for a month or two and just slow down. And that's good. Your body needs those times for rest. But then I would always be able to just be like, okay, I'm going to run today. And I could go out and run 6 miles without even flinching.
Yeah.
And so I naively thought that after having a baby and getting all this rest that I would clearly be able to go and do that because why not? It was just birth, right?
Right. No big deal. You just like made a person and pushed him out of you.
Yes. And so it was really hard for me to accept at first. That I wasn't able to just get up and go run. And I had to meet my body where it was at then instead of holding on to where it used to be. Because you're going to go through so many different changes and I couldn't just sit there and keep running like I knew that I used to be able to run. I had to run like I was able to run in that moment. And pushing a stroller is freaking hard.
Yeah. I was going to ask about that. I've never done that. It looks really, I mean, yeah. How's that been?
It is. Go find yourself a friend with a baby, ask her to go for a run with you, and offer to push the stroller, and you will have a newfound respect for all baby mamas.
Yeah.
It's just, I didn't think it would be, again, in my naivety. I'd never pushed a stroller running before.
Right.
And it, you know, you're pushing this heavy contraption with a car seat on top that's another 15 pounds with a baby inside, and you go at a lot slower pace. So my first few months of running post baby, I was pushing the stroller and I was like, not having it. I would run a few minutes and then I would stop. And then I'd run a few minutes and I would stop. And I could barely make it through 2 miles without walking half of it.
Wow.
And again, it was so like mentally, hard for me because I was just so used to pushing through and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't just push through and keep running and why my body was stopping. And then maybe a couple months after that, my husband was home and I asked him to watch the baby and I went out and I ran 3 miles without stopping pretty quickly. Like, and it was super duper easy. And so, you know, it just showed me that I can do it. And the training with the stroller did end up working, but it was hard. And so I remember what your question was now about running.
No, it's great. I was just saying that I feel like that whole experience that you just really described kind of made you a normal human person, you know, before you were this superwoman who could just bang out 6 miles after not running for 2 months, which I don't think most people can do. And it's what's so incredible about you. But I feel like this was a really humbling, like down to earth kind of experience where, you know, now I'm wondering like what advice you could offer based on that experience to people who are that way without the baby, you know, who feel like I'd love to be able to run 2 miles, but I do have to stop. Is that okay? How do I get better? You know, what do you have in terms of advice for new runners that want to become runners?
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, just meeting your body where it is at right then in that moment. And if you can only run for 1 minute without stopping, then you do that day. And then the next day, run 1 minute and 15 seconds. And the next day, run 1 minute and 30 seconds. And as time goes on, your body will be able to build up to that. And it can be frustrating. But the best part is when it's 3 months later and you're running 2 miles and you're looking back and you're like, oh my gosh, remember when I couldn't even run for a minute and now I'm running for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. But like I said, and there are programs out there that build on that basis of running a little bit and then walking a little bit and running a little bit and walking a little bit. And over time, you know, you can build up. So
it is so mental.
It is. Absolutely.
Running. Would you say like, running's more mental even maybe than physical?
Yes, absolutely. I would totally say that. I'm such a believer in that because physically our
bodies can do so much. If you give it the avenue to and try and challenge yourself, you will be amazed at what your body can do. But mentally, your mind says, oh, I can't do that. I mean, every race, yeah. Oh, like my first marathon, oh, there's no way I can run a marathon. I can never run a marathon. I will never run a marathon. Mm-hmm. And then I ran a marathon and then it's my first 50K. Oh my gosh, I could never run more than a marathon. Why would I ever run more than a marathon? I can't do this. And then you do it and then you build up. And so for me, this past race that I just did, I really, you know, I didn't train as much as I should have. But when I got into the race, I just kept saying to myself, I know that I can run a marathon. I have run 52 miles. I have done an Ironman. I can do this. I absolutely know that my body is capable of doing this. So even when I wanted to stop, which I definitely did, I knew that I could push through and I could finish and life would move on.
It's incredible. And then you did.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Yes. Amazing. So cool. And I'm wondering, you know, in terms of the benefits of running, what do you believe are the biggest benefits? I mean, do you think based on your experience that anyone can be a runner? What about the people out there that are like, I hate running. I could never run. I mean, I don't know. I'm just wondering, for me, the benefits, I think, are the mental component, like we're talking about. I think after a run, especially when I'm tired and I don't want to, and then I find something inside me to pull it through, I feel unstoppable. I also love how it, you know, makes my legs look and it flattens my stomach and kind of allows me to eat some more pizza. So I guess I'm wondering, like, what you find are the benefits of running, part A, and part B, if you think that anyone can be a runner.
Yes, to all the above. Nice. I do think that anyone can be a runner. I think, you know, you can move your feet, you can get running. I don't think that necessarily everybody will always love it, or might not always love it at the beginning, or may grow to love it later. Because I guess, like, growing up, I would run because that's what we did, but I didn't love it until I found it within myself and my own motivation to love it and do it. But yeah, I think anyone can be a runner. And I think benefits wise, I mean, for me, it just makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You know, I get out there, I get my own like mental peace. It's my own space. I can run as fast as I can. I can run as slow as I want. I can walk, I can jog, I can skip, you know, it's
walk on your hands.
Yeah, I wish I could walk on my hands. But for me, I mean, it's just mental clarity and just happiness. Like it really is my happy place. Like I always feel, like you said afterwards, like I just feel physically good afterwards.
Right.
You know, get those endorphins going, and then, you know, I don't have to kill my husband afterwards.
Nice. So. That's always a plus. That runner's high, saving marriages.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, my husband, like, he's like, can you just leave? Go for a run. I'll get your shoes. I got the baby. Go run.
That's so funny. That's really funny. So I want to shift a little bit into the kale portion of the run like kale equation. I'm wondering how plant-based nutrition plays into this whole thing for you.
Yes, plants are freaking awesome. You know that.
I agree.
So for me, the whole plant-based thing came along in later in life. So growing up, like I said, I ran with my family, but kind of the philosophy was, you know, we run and exercise and do triathlons all the time, so we can eat whatever we want. We can, you know, go to McDonald's, we can eat pizza for every meal, and we can do whatever because we're exercising all the time. And, you know, when you're a kid and you're itty bitty and running all the time, like that kind of works. But then it was when I was training for my Ironman, this was 2014 or 13. I don't know. I'm terrible with dates. But back when I started training for my Ironman, January came around and I like to set goals for the year. That's something that I think that I can never, ever do. And so one of the things,
wow, that's interesting.
That I mean, like they're more of like a mental thing. Like I, you know, years ago I was like, I'm not going to drink soda for a year. And at the time when I was in high school and drinking soda all the time, that was, you know, it seemed impossible. And then now I haven't had a soda in 10 years.
Hell yeah. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so with, the new year came along and I was like, I'm going to try this whole vegan thing. And at the time I was that person that was like, oh my God, I can never give up meat.
And even if I can give up meat, I can never give up cheese. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Cheese. That is like what life is built on. What am I going to do when I go out for wine and I can't have my cheese? And so, but like at the time I was that person who was like, I could never do that. Why would you do that? I can never do that. And so it was that mental thing. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this for 30 days.
What were you thinking? Like, what was your reason?
What was my reason?
Not I what just, were you thinking?
I wanted to try it. It really was just that I wanted to try it out. I wanted You're to do curious. Something that I'd always said that I couldn't do. And I'd always said that I couldn't give up meat. And so I was like, you know what? I've always said I can't do this. So I'm going to do it. So I just did a 30-day, vegan thing. It was something that I had found online and they sent you. If I can find it, I'll send you the link. But it was like a 30-day vegan trial, and they send you like recipes every day, and then like documentary clips to like educate yourself.
Cool. Yeah, if you find that, I'd be curious.
Yeah, it was really awesome because I liked that I could like listen to things and watch it. And anyway, so I did this for 30 days, and this is when I kind of kickstarted, was building up my Ironman training that was in August, and so I was starting to ramp up miles and running and biking, and I started to notice that I was feeling really good. And the end of the first month came, and I was like, you know what, I'm feeling really good, so I'm just gonna keep doing this. I'm just gonna keep like eating more plants during my training, and I'm just gonna see how it goes. And I would notice that I would go out and I would bike for 5 hours, and then I would go run 13 miles, and I would wake up the next morning. Yeah, it's no big deal. I mean, it was like a full-time job training for this thing. And a full-time job. I would wake up and I would notice that I wasn't sore.
Wow.
Or I wasn't sore like I used to be sore. Mm. And so I was like, what has changed? Like, I'm certainly training and working harder than I've ever worked before, but I'm noticing my body is recovering quicker and it's replenishing itself, and I'm feeling really good. And so I chalked it up to all the plants. I mean, and so my goal at the time was, you know what, I'm just going to see this through until my Ironman. And again, another one of those stigmas that people put on, hard endurance or just physical training things, is you have to have meat. You have to have meat to do this. You need more protein. You need more this. You need more whatever. And so it was just kind of another one of those things that I wanted to debunk for myself and for family and friends, was that, no, you can do this on plants. Like, you have to do it smart, but you can. So I trained and ran my first Ironman on a vegan plant-based diet. And then after that, I just started, I was like, you know what, like, plants are where it's at. And so things, it might not have changed, but the majority of what I do and eat is plants, because that's what's fueled my body well through an Ironman. So it can fuel my body through anything.
That is incredible. Mm-hmm. You are the coolest. I love it. You're like, I just want to do stuff that I think is challenging. I love that you challenge yourself. You're such a runner, like, in every way, because that's the whole runner's thing. You know, challenge yourself with a race. And I love that you do it in every aspect of your life. You're so cool. I love you. What, let me ask this one question that's just kind of off the cuff. What is the difference between an Ironman and a triathlon?
Okay, so an Ironman, it is a triathlon, but it is like the triathlon, the holy grail of triathlons. Because a triathlon, for anyone who doesn't know, is swimming, biking, and running all in one time, one sporting event. Right. You have to do all of them. An Ironman is a triathlon that is, the specific distance is 140.6 miles. So it is a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike. And then at the end of all that, when you're not done, you get to run a 26.2 mile marathon.
Oh my
God. And then you get to finish hours upon hours upon hours later.
Holy crap. How long does that take?
Oh my gosh, it can take anywhere between the super duper speedy people can do it under 10 hours, and then me who does it in like 14, 15 hours. But the cutoff is you have to finish by midnight, and I think it's like 17 hours. So there is a cutoff. Like, if you do not finish within this time, then I'm sorry, but you are not technically an Ironman.
My jaw is dropped right now. I can't imagine doing anything for that length of time. Like, some people aren't even awake for that length of time. When I flew to Thailand, it was 20 hours, and I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Like, you basically did athletic stuff for that almost that length of time. I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, God, this is the worst. I can't do this. I'm so tired of sitting. God, get me off this plane. And you're biking's, running, and swimming on plants. That is amazing. So in terms of, you know, you said that you could do it on plants, but you had to do it smart. Talk to me about like what that means to do it smart, because I think there are a lot of people that go plant-based and don't do it quote unquote smart. They eat maybe a lot of processed foods, or they don't put any emphasis on protein. So for you, I mean, what kind of defines training like that on plants as doing it smart, or even just, you know, fueling workouts a quote unquote smart way?
Yeah. So nutrition, I believe, is like 80% of the battle when it comes to training and things. I think it's more important than anything, because people can train their hearts out for something and then get into it and their body will shut down on them because they just nutritionally don't have what they need to keep going. There's countless things that people going out and doing these races. I mean, I know people that trained twice as long as I did for the Ironman, but they did not finish it because their body just wasn't like they didn't get the nutrition right. You know, I would see them training, but also eating pizza bites. I mean, like if you don't have the nutrition side of it, your body can shut down on you.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, during the race, okay, we'll back up for fueling, like through the training.
Yeah.
I mean, I was eating all the time. I would sit on my, I would wake up and I would have a huge ass green smoothie with, you know, tons of bananas and dates and kale and protein powder and things like that, because I needed high calories because I was about to go and burn 1500 calories in one day of working out, if not more than that. So it's you have to eat. You can't. And I used to be that person where I would go out and try and run an exercise and only eat like, you know, half a banana and feel so good about myself. But you cannot sustain your body on that. You have to give yourself more and more food. And so I would sit on my days that I didn't go out on a bike, and I would sit on the bike trainer, and I would literally have a bag of baby bell peppers, a whole thing of a pint of cherry tomatoes, and a pint of hummus, and I would sit there and I would eat it
while you're training.
While I was biking, and I would eat through the whole entire thing as I was biking, because again, like you need to fuel your body to keep going. And then I would drink another smoothie, and when I would run, I would have my little fuel belt, and I would put dates in it so I could, every 30 minutes or so, I would, you know, munch on some dates. Or I use the Noon hydration tablets. I don't know if you've seen those, but
love N-U-U-N.
Yes.
Yes, I took those when I was flying to Thailand, actually.
Yeah, I love those because they don't have a lot of sugar, but they have all the electrolytes and all the things that your body needs, because your body needs these things to keep going. And so I would, you know, chug that when I would run and nibble on these things. And sometimes I would even take a peanut butter sandwich, or, you know, like you just, but real food.
Yes. Say bars. You just, you know, maybe you ate bars, but you're not relying on them. You're talking about plants. I can't believe you sat on a bike eating plants, cherry tomatoes and peppers as you were biking. I mean, it kind of sounds like training for an Ironman like might be fun, because you get to eat so much amazing plant food. There's an incentive there.
Oh yeah.
I'm happy to get dates on a run.
Yeah, exactly. Try it out. They're way better than those bars and goos and things, which, you know, I do goos when I'm in races sometimes, because you need sometimes that like quick burst, because it will definitely pick you up. But for the most part, yeah, bananas and dates and potatoes and real food, not all the packaged crap. You know, that's great for convenience, but it should not be the majority of what you're putting into your body.
Wow. So when you're not training for a race, like what does life look like for you? I mean, do you still run routinely? I mean, I know that now that you have the little cutie, I'm sure it's different than before, but maybe like before when it's like kind of your baseline, you know, what would a normal week look like in terms of fitness? Because I know you do stuff, you do yoga, right? Didn't you get yoga certified while pregnant?
Yes, how you I roll. Did. That was how I rolled. It was another one of those crazy things. I just got pregnant. And getting my yoga certification was something that, again, I always wanted to do. And I had found out I was pregnant in November. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to have a baby. I need to do all the things this child comes because I will never have time ever again, which isn't true. And so in my first trimester, I did not know that you get more exhausted than you have ever been in your entire life within those first 13 weeks of a baby. People listening to this, hear me. You will be so tired, and that is okay. Don't try and go out and do all these crazy things like I did. I got my yoga certification, which I love, and then I was teaching HIIT classes when I was pregnant. But my training and my way of doing things, it evolves constantly all the time,
right?
Based on what I'm wanting to go after. If I'm just running and I'm not training for anything, it's totally different. You know, I might get my long runs might cap at 6 miles, and I'll just, you know, 3-4 times a week, I'll go run 3-4 miles and then throw in a 6 mile run just to kind of keep a baseline of fitness. Mm-hmm. And then I will do yoga a few times a week. But then there's also been times in my life where I did yoga 5-6 days a week, and I did that for months, and I ran once a week. Mm. So it's constantly changing. And that's kind of the fun of it. You know, you can incorporate HIIT and yoga and bar and all these other things and play around with your body and find what you like and what works for you, because everybody's body is different. So
I love that. I love that you just, you know, listen to the bod, do different things. I love that you challenge yourself as much as you do. I mean, it's borderline crazy, but it's inspiring.
It is. I have a problem.
Yeah. I mean, you're not like jumping off cliffs with a baby, so like that's good, but yoga certification.
Yeah, we turned on it. Yeah, not yet. Yeah.
You're amazing. So I'm wondering, like, on an average, you know, workout that's not for, you know, training, you know, many, many mile long runs, just like a normal run or a normal HIIT class or yoga, what is a pre-workout look like for you? Like, what's your fuel for that?
Oh, like, what do I eat?
Yeah, like a smoothie
Yeah, I go through phases. Like, there's been phases where I would have a smoothie every time before I would go work out. And again, in that I'd put bananas, of course, and like something green. I'd put like an entire 1 pound bag of spinach in, or a whole bunch of kale in, or some sort of protein, sometimes not. But probably just on like the daily, I'll just do either a bowl of oats with hemp seeds and chia seeds and flax seeds, all the seeds, and then some berries. And that's just kind of like my easy daily. Or I'll do the sprouted Ezekiel bread toast with avocado and some lemon. So nothing super duper crazy. I like to keep it kind of simple when I'm, you know, when you're wanting to work out. Because the last thing you want to do is whip out all the pots and pans and all this food, eat the food, and then have to clean it up, and then go for the run, and then come back.
Workout in itself. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, you know, throw some toast in, throw some stuff on, munch it, give myself a minute, drink a whole bunch of water, and then go for it.
That's awesome. And what about post-workout? What do you usually have? Is your post-workout meal or snack or something like that?
Post-workout, it is. It's a smoothie. That doesn't change. It's just the quickest thing to throw in a blender, grab it, down it. I don't want to. And for me, I'm really not usually super hungry.
Yeah, I'm not either. But is it important to eat still? Mm-hmm. Or, yeah.
Yeah, it is important to eat afterwards. So you're good, because your body can rebuild itself. You've just broken down all your muscles and all your things. And so, you know, you need to refuel it. For me, a smoothie is just the easiest, because last thing I want to do is eat a big salad or sandwich or something that takes effort. When I know that I need that fuel, I'll, you know, come home and
wait a few minutes and then just try and put something lit, like something small in my body. And then an hour or two later, when I am ravenous, then I'll go back in the kitchen and make a big bowl of quinoa and beans and sauteed kale and a smorgasbord of things. That's when I can, you know, have fun.
I love that. And yeah, I mean, the best part about a smoothie is that the blender basically digests it for you, you know, so you don't have to do any work, which is so great. So what's in your post-workout smoothie? Is it, you know, well, you just tell me, I'm not going to like guess.
No, let's play this guessing game.
I know, right? Let's just name all the plants.
I like coconut water in my smoothies because it's very hydrating. So especially after you run, and then a bunch of berries and cherries, which are, you know, a great anti-inflammatory. Throw some bananas in there because bananas are the best. And then something, yeah, something green, and then a protein powder. I use Vega. I know that you love your Sun Warrior. So I'm super curious to try that. I haven't tried it yet because I have like a whole stock of Vega protein in my pantry. But once it's out, I'm going to come around and give that a shot.
Please. Yeah, we'd love to have you. We'd love to grace your presence.
Oh, thank you.
So, okay, I have to say, we've been Instagram friends for a while, and I think because we both love to run and we both love the fun plant wordplay, but I remember the moment that I knew I had to have you on this podcast when I saw the video of how you told your husband you were pregnant, which you did at the end of casual 13.1 mile half marathon. I watched your video and I've cried an embarrassing, seriously, amount of times. So for people who haven't, and will see it because I'm linking to it in the show notes, but for people who haven't seen the amazing video of how you told your husband you were pregnant, can you please tell us that story? Because it's incredible.
Oh my gosh. I love that you've watched that.
I've watched it so many times. I cry every time.
I did the same thing.
I mean, yeah, it's your child. I'm crazy.
Yes. So I, when I found out that I was pregnant, I was, you know, we're completely shocked. It was kind of a long road. And I knew that I wanted to tell my husband in a fun, exciting way because I knew that he would also be surprised. So I found out that I was pregnant on a Thursday, and I knew that a friend of mine was running a half marathon on Thanksgiving Day, and she had been asking me to do it, and I'd been dragging my feet because I was like, oh, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm not the turkey trot runner who goes out with 100,000 people and their dog to run that race. I'd rather like run around my park. But I don't know how I got it in my head. I think because in my mind I knew, well, it didn't end up being this way, but I thought that once I was pregnant, my husband wasn't going to let me run anymore. And so I was like, I need to get in my last race before he finds out.
That's really funny. And,
so I found out that I was pregnant, and I texted her that day. I was like, hey, I'm going to run this race with you. I'm going to sign up and I'm going to do it. And then I went out and I ran 13 miles just around my neighborhood.
No biggie.
And I just started just thinking and pondering and planning. And then that's when I went to the store. I got some stuff and I made a little shirt, and it says baby's first half marathon. And then I put it, a little like silhouette of a baby on it. And we went, and this was a week later. So I had to wait an entire week, Talia, without telling him.
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine ever doing that again. It was so hard. It was ridiculous.
I can't even wait to like tell my boyfriend like what I chose for dinner that night. Like I can't keep anything. So I can't imagine holding that secret.
Yeah, it was the hardest thing ever, especially when we had so many birthday parties that week and we're going out and everybody's, you know, ordering a glass of wine and everyone's trying to give me something. And nobody on my team. So normally like if people aren't telling, you go out and the husband's either you hand them the drink and they drink it for you, or they're drinking and it seems a little bit. And so I was like out by myself and nobody, not even my husband, was on my team when I was like denying the drinks and telling people that I was on a cleanse.
Oh, that's what that was your party line.
That was kind of perfect. Oh, sorry. This is like out of the norm.
So
I went, I ran the marathon. I had like so much adrenaline with me, and my friend, I had told her like a couple days before, and we went and we ran it. And then I told my husband,
because he's notorious for kind of just not being at the finish line, either like missing it or being, he's always there along the path and he's an awesome support, but somehow he just,
he like wanders off. So he comes to the race, but then just like somehow isn't present when you finish it.
Like, no, no, I mean,
like, he's like in the bathroom or just like weird.
Or watching the dogs. We always bring the dogs to the races. Really or funny. I mean, he, again, he's amazing support and he's always there cheering me along the way. But I told him, I gave him my camera. I was like, babe, you have to. You have to promise that you will be at this finish line. Nice. He's like, okay, I will. I will. I was like, no, you have to be at the finish
line. He's like, jeez.
Exactly. He's like, okay, calm down. I'm like, I need it for my blog. You have to be.
Nice. I love that's good.
So that's why in the video, like, I crossed the finish line. I had taken off the shirt, like, you know, a minute before I got to the end. And he's sitting there. He's snapping pictures of me. And he's being an awesome husband. And, you know, with the Instagram husband who's, like, behind all the photos. And I finally, I'm like, hey, like, do you notice anything? Like, do you see my shirt? And he sees it, and he just like, if you watch the video, I love it because it's like his oh shit face. Like,
yeah, he looks like yeah,
like he's gonna throw up.
It like, is not him, like a smile at first.
It's so funny because he does. He looks like he's about to throw up. He's like processing it, and then as soon like it's. I mean, it's a 5 second window. Yeah. Of like, oh my gosh!
And he's like, is it real?
And then he gets so excited and cries, and we both cry, and it was just the sweetest thing ever. So now I don't know what I'm going to do the next round, because how do you top that, right?
You will. You'll figure out a way. That is just the coolest story ever. I love it. Baby's first half marathon. That, and now he's been running with you, Griffin. Huh? Not your husband. Oh, I don't know if he runs with you, but definitely Griffin's been logging a lot of miles in the stroller.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And you ran that half marathon with a dog?
Yes.
Wait, tell me more about running with a dog, because I've been thinking about bringing my guy out, but I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a Vizsla, which is like a Hungarian pointer, and they are just – they were bred to be like bird dogs. They're just really lean and really fast. And she – her name is Kona. She is the best running partner I have ever had. I've ran with Labs and – boxers and golden retrievers and, you know, all different dogs growing up, but this dog can run forever. I don't think I've ever worn her out once, and she's all the time. And so she was great. My husband is amazing with dogs, and so has her super trained. So I had her on the leash for the race, but she could have run next to me without a leash and done fine the whole time, because she's just really well trained, and she'll just run along. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. I run with her all the time.
Does she need proper fuel?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Don't ask me that. Feed her normal dog food. Really actually funny. Okay, there was a time in our life when my husband was really into making dog food.
Nice. We went through that phase.
Yes, and it's
not that long.
Yes, it's just a very hard phase to keep up with, because you're constantly having to remake the grains or redo the vegetables and whatever, and it's so time consuming. I mean, awesome for the dog, and she's totally worth it. But we did that for a few months, and then I was tired of my house being taken over by homemade dog food. So that was my fault.
So you ran through your pregnancy a little bit, right?
Yeah, I did run a little bit. And that was another thing that was a little bit harder for me. I mean, running when pregnant, it was so weird. I ran those few races at the beginning, did my half marathon, then a week later did like a marathon trail race with my dad.
What? A week later?
later. And then I hit that first trimester exhaustion. Thought I was the weeniest pregnant person in the world. Didn't know why. All I wanted to do was take naps. And then second trimester kicked up. I got my energy back. I was feeling good. And I remember going out for my first pregnant run, running like a mile and then just wanting to throw up the whole time. I mean, like, what is with me? Because I mean, you know, 5 weeks ago, I just ran a half marathon or whatever. And it's fine. And all of a sudden, like so it was really just hit or miss. I mean, some people run 13 half marathons throughout their pregnancy and run a whole bunch of marathons. And I really truly thought I was going to be that person. I was like, oh, I got this. I can be pregnant. I can. Like, I watch me run these marathons with my big old belly. You guys watch. And it just wasn't the case. So some days I would go out and I would run 5-6 miles and at a great pace and feel awesome. And then 2 days later, I would barely be able to run 2, and it would be at like a 15 minute, like trudging along pace. And it was just, again, back to just meeting your body where it's right. at in that moment. And honoring your body and that, and stop trying to push it into something that it doesn't want to do, because I know that my body can do all these things. I have nothing to prove to myself or to my body. Mm. And so just being like, okay, right now we're running a 15 minute mile and we're just going to be okay with that. And hopefully next week we'll be able to run an 8 minute mile. But you know, if not, then that's okay. And so I actually got way more into, the high intensity workouts and yoga when I was pregnant, and I would run a couple times a week, but that ended up not being the majority of what I wanted to do.
Listen to your body.
Yeah, listen to your body.
What's your motivation to run? Like, what's your why behind it these days or any days?
That's a good question.
Stumped you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it just makes me feel good. I just enjoy it, which I know some people listening to that are going to be like, that's crazy. Why would you ever enjoy right. running? But I do. And there's a point that you have to push through, because the beginning of running, nobody enjoys.
Right.
Like starting from ground zero and having to build up, it's not fun. It's the same with anything. Like, you're not going to enjoy those first few times.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
Yeah. But once you push through that, it really is beautiful. And, you know, it's my space. I do it right now, like for alone time, which I don't get too much of because I have a baby on me all the time.
Yeah.
I love him. But, you know, sometimes you just want to like have two arms too.
Yeah.
And I'll throw him the stroller and I don't have to hold him and just run and be, and I can think my thoughts and enjoy going. So that's just my daily motivation. But there are times when I don't feel like running and I don't want to do something. And so when that goes on too long, what I do is I just sign up for a race.
Oh.
And I will say that if you want to do something, so if your goal is I want to run a 10K and you're like, I'm just going to keep training. I'm going to train for a month and I'm going to do this and then I'm going to run this 10K that is 6 weeks out. If you don't ever sign up for it,
put it on the calendar.
Not, yeah. Yeah. More often, you're not going to do it. So if I've noticed that I've just kind of been in a funk, I'll pick a race that's, you know, 2 months, 6 months, whatever out, and I will sign up for it first. And then I will start training for it, because that means that I have to do it. I've put in
Love
the money.
That.
I've
yeah.
told that I'm going to do it. And then I will have to find a way to do it. And so that way, those times when I'm not motivated, I'll be like, you know, well, I have this and I've got to train for it and I've got to go. So it's, you know,
that's great changes. Advice. Have you ever bailed on something you've signed up for, a race?
Not.
Boom.
Not yet.
No, not yet. Don't say that. I'm knocking on wood. No, that's fantastic. That's great. Yeah, I love it.
That's just my personality, is I need those goals set in stone to sometimes push me, because I'm not, if I don't sign up for it, and I have done this, I have said that I'm going to run a race and not signed up for it. And I've been like, oh, I'm training. And then the race is like in 2 weeks and I'm like, oh, I'm not really
late.
Feeling it
yeah.
because I didn't sign up for it.
Like,
and
you
so
just
I've
said,
done that,
yeah.
but if I have signed up for it, I will do it. So I challenge you and everybody, pick a race, sign up for it, and then start training, because you will make yourself do it when you pay $100 for that 5K.
Yeah. So before I let you go run back to your little one, I just have a few last final questions for you.
Sure thing.
I want to know if you have a favorite plant party restaurant.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we are in Dallas, and honestly, when my husband and I go out to eat, I don't just look for, like, what is the main plant restaurant out there, and like we like to go and we'd like to try new things all the time. But what I like to do is I like to go to any restaurant and see if I can, like, the best plant party dish that I can find on their menu, instead of sticking to like that one or two places. But there are a couple vegan plant places here in Dallas that are pretty good. There's a place called the Spiral Diner.
which is great. It's like this like 1950s kitchen looking place. And it's really super cute, but their menu, and they do, I mean, they do have healthy things, but if I'm going to go there, I'm going to go and get like their vegan nachos or their, which
it's like vegan junk food.
Yes, it is. I mean, they have healthy things. They have smoothies, but I'm going to go for the vegan junk food.
Yeah.
And so that's not necessarily healthy. I mean, you can be vegan and be not in shape.
Totally, 100%.
But then there's another place that's newer. It's called V Eats here in Dallas that is, it has a lot more, a lot fresher, more like good for you kind of plant vegan food that's pretty good. But on the daily, it's just, you know, wherever we go, I just like to search out something.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
Yeah,
but if I'm ever in Dallas, I now know where to go.
Yeah, come on down.
And yeah, yes. And so, what's your favorite plant to eat?
Oh, I have to say kale. Yeah. Of course. Okay.
I was just seeing how dedicated you were. Just trying to see how on brand you stay.
No, I mean, that's not completely true. I do love kale. And I do love throwing it in my smoothies. And I love to quickly, you know, saute it or make kale chips or whatever. But the same with my training, like what I am loving changes all the time and changes with the seasons. So, you know, here in Texas, when it becomes summer, peaches all day, every day, like some juicy Texas peaches are my jam. I could just eat them all day long. But right now, currently I'm digging the sweet potato. Oh, so
yeah.
You know,
what do you do with the sweet potato?
I mean, for just chop it up put it in the oven and roast it with you know, olive oil or coconut oil and seasonings. But I love baking. Here's how to get the kale and the sweet potato.
Oh,
let me
tell
you. You bake the sweet potato. You chop up some zucchini, some onion, some carrots, and you saute it in a pan. You get a nice big can of full fat coconut milk and you put it in there. And then you add some turmeric, some curry, some red pepper, and a can of chickpeas and some kale in there. Pour that over your sweet potato and girl, heaven.
Hell yeah. I'm so craving that right now. That might be dinner tonight.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You get everything in there. The fats, the protein, the sweet tater. That is the kale. Do you have a written recipe for that? Or is it just kind of like you just throw things in and call it a dinner?
I just throw things in and call it a dinner. You know, I probably should
write that up. Yeah. Yeah, you really should. Well, we'll write it in the show notes and then you can publish it on the blog. Or there vice versa.
Make me do it again. I need those goals, those deadlines set out for me to get me to do it.
Yes. What would you say your most used kitchen tool is?
Oh, my blender, Vitamix.
Yeah. And is there an amazing book that has really inspired you in some awesome way?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So here, let me tell you the truth. Ooh. I promise you, I try. I'm like, I'm going to read the China Study, and I'm going to read How Not to Die, and I'm going to read all Kimberly Snyder's books, and the Thrive Fitness books, and Born to Run, and I have them all purchased, and they're sitting, and they look beautiful. I don't know what it is, but for me to get through, and I flip through it, and I pull out the nuggets of all these great, you know, nonfiction books, but I cannot sit there and read an entire nonfiction book like that from cover to cover.
I mean, some of those are like textbooky.
They
are. You know, the China Study is like a textbook.
I know. And
it's not light beach reading.
Yes, exactly. Right now, I mean, I love anything by Brené Brown. She's awesome. But right now I'm reading a book called Beautiful Babies because, you know, I have my baby and this is really cool because it's all about nutrition for fertility, pregnancy, breastfeeding, baby's first foods.
Cool.
And so that's something that I'm perusing through, which I'm really, really liking at the moment. But
okay, that's great. I
have a little secret.
That's great. That's really cool. I don't need that yet, but maybe someday.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure people listening could use it.
Yeah. Not the only pregnant runner, right?
Absolutely not. So where can everyone go to run like kale alongside you? Or, I mean, probably behind you as you probably lap us all. But where can everyone go to find more about you?
Well, I am Run Like Kale on all the handles. I probably hang out the most on Instagram, so you can find me there. My blog is just runlikekale.com. I am a terrible Twitterer, but I have it. and, you know, I'm on Facebook, so come on and hang out.
Yes. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on the show and teaching us all your amazing, inspiring running ways and how you use plants. It's really inspiring. And I think I'm going to find some sort of fun race to sign up for, because why the hell not? Why the kale not?
Why the kale not? Kale, yeah.
I hope you do. Thank you so much, Talia, for having me.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling as jazzed up as I am to go out and run like kale, and then drink some kale in a smoothie, and then later saute the kale and stuff it into a sweet potato, and then wake up and run like kale again. Remember, running like kale could literally mean just running for 2 minutes without stopping. Just meet your body where it's at and work slowly to improve each day. Or be a crazy person and do what Angela inspired me to do and sign up for a race to put an inspiring date on the calendar. June 4th, baby, 13.1 miles. I am coming for you, whether you like it or not, or I like it or not. If there are runners or aspiring runners in your life that would love this episode, please share it with them. And a big fit thank you to Sun Warrior Protein Powder for sponsoring this episode. Sun Warrior is the best tasting and texturing plant-based protein powder, the number one product I recommend to help plant lovers get more protein in their diets, and a product that is definitely going to be fueling my half marathon training. To start your love affair with this must-have plant-based product, or to learn more about it, pop over to partyinmyplants.com/27. And you can find all the notes from this episode and so much more that just makes healthy living not suck over at partyinmyplants.com/27.